Season 7, Episode 5, Tickle vs. Giggle for Girls and Safety on the Footy Field. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me. Trade Traps. Alan shares a human rights case on Tickle vs. Giggle for Girls, an alleged case of discrimination from joining a club via a service app based on gender identity. This is squarely political, says Trage. Each party has a strong interest group behind them, while this case enters into appeal. Alan shares another story about scaffolding creating havoc on the football field midway through a match, resulting in the death of a footballer's family member. Listen to more of this episode. Send the link to your friends. And by all means, write in if you wish to discuss a work story that you may have. And a warning, this episode discusses a fatal incident. We advise listener discretion. Welcome to the WoWork Podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
Morning, Trage. How are you?
I'm very well, fighting fit on a glorious Sunday morning.
Marvellous. Sarah?
I'm pretty kick-ass today. I'm a bit feisty, though. Watch out. I'm feeling a little feisty.
Good. We need feisty.
All right.
All right. Shall I start the ball rolling with one of the latest cases that has just come out?
All right. Tell
us. It's a very serious case. But also... It's interesting. It's very interesting. Now, the name of the case is Tickle versus Giggle for Girls, PTYLTD.
Wait. Let me absorb this. Tickle versus Giggle for Girls,
PTYLTD.
Thank you.
Now, I'll just give it a little bit more background. It's a federal court decision by Justice Bromwich. And he made his decision on the 23rd of August this year, so not very long ago. And the media has reported that his decision is under appeal. So it's possible that his decision could be overturned.
But so who knows where this goes? But what's the status to date?
Yeah, well, that's the thing about the law. The only thing that you can be sure about is that it's very unsure.
Mm. So in this case... It was an action commenced by Roxanne Tickle.
Roxanne, okay.
Now, Roxanne used to be a man and she transitioned to a woman in 2017.
Okay.
Okay.
And Roxanne Tickle is... it would have been a difficult process for her. Now, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine that Trage wanted to transition to a woman.
we've talked about Trage in high heels before.
Put him in high heels, long flowing hair, and he'd look, shave the goatee off, of course.
Got to shave the goatee.
He would look a bit like Roxanne Tickle. So,
have you seen a picture of Roxanne?
She's all over the papers. You can see her everywhere.
All right.
Now, Roxanne, and I think that goes to her credit because, you know, it would not be an easy transition.
I thought you meant of looking like Trage. I was going to say, Trage, is there something you need to tell us? Okay, let me check out Roxanne Tickle.
All right, you keep looking for that. Roxanne did manage to get a Queensland birth certificate to say that she was a woman, which was important in this case. Now, what happened was she started the transition process in 2017, and then more recently, it was in February 2021, she came across this app, which was called Giggle for Girls. And Giggle for Girls is an app that's set up for women only. It's a social networking app where women can talk to each other. And it's you have to make application to get onto the to be able to use the app. And the applications are assessed by artificial intelligence. And what the app does is it asks you for a selfie photo.
Okay.
Trey's just taken.
Yep.
He's got his nice long glowing hair.
I have seen this in the media. Yes.
And okay. He's made application, and the AI has, it was designed to err on the side of error. Sorry, okay. To err on the side of, if there was any uncertainty, then it would say, yes, the person is a woman, just based on the photograph of the face. That's all.
All right.
So Trace has made application. AI has said, yes, you're a woman.
Oh, okay.
And that's what happened to
so
Roxanne.
So she got through. Okay.
So there was no red flag.
No red flag.
No red flag.
Right.
And then, so she enjoyed the use of the app between February 2021 and September 2021. So just, she was on there for 6 months.
What type of app? What type of...
it was just one for women only.
Yes.
To be able to joke and laugh and
forum.
Chat.
A forum. A chat room, wonderful. A forum.
Yeah, well, it's social...
yeah.
A connection and social cohesion, yep. Yes.
Our hood. Okay.
Now, Giggle for Girls is an app that was set up by Sally Grover, and you can... hopefully I'm pronouncing Grover correctly. Although I understand she prefers to be called Sal.
Okay.
So Sal has set up this app, and what she would do is she would check some of the photos to see how the AI was performing. And she looked at a photo of Roxanne and said, that's not a woman.
So on objective assessment, the proprietor of the product has said, wait a minute.
And remember we spoke about this, a Turing test. Right, mm-hmm. Testing the veracity of an AI process, like you have little
yes.
CAPTCHA checks, right? So she was mm-hmm. doing her own version of yeah. assessing the
sure.
the validity of the AI
but
screening.
One of the big problems with her testing was, again, it was just on the selfie photo, facial selfie photo.
So there could have been, for example, an avatar. There may not necessarily have been that person?
Is no, it no, it was she was had a look of, yeah. At Roxanne's face, yeah. And but in her judgment, based on Roxanne's face, Roxanne was not a woman.
But originally the AI said yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the AI passed it because
interesting.
A big concern that I hear about in my circles of human factors and human-centered design is that there is a very colonized approach to AI. In other words, you know, very conventional, hierarchical types of thinking is filtered through, and there's biases in AI. So I'm surprised what you're saying is that actually permitted the yeah. application.
Oh, it was designed, the AI was designed to have a big buffer margin.
Correct. So it had a little more designed for diversity in it, for an inclusive assessment, whereas most of the criticism in AI right now is that it's not designed for diversity, right? Whether it's cultural or sexual or whatever. So this is interesting. Keep going.
So then what happened was Ms. Grover just cut Roxanne off. So all of a sudden, Roxanne tries to log on to the app and discovers that she no longer has access to the app.
She's been ghosted.
Yes, yes. That word's not used in judgment, but yes. And then Roxanne sends off a few emails, tries to ring up, and Sal just doesn't respond in any way. Roxanne then goes to the federal court and alleges that there's indirect discrimination against her under the Sexual Discrimination Act. She asked for $100,000 in compensation, and Justice Bromwich said, yes, that is indirect discrimination, awarded her $10,000, and her legal costs were $50,000. Now, Sal has said, before I talk about what Sal said, I did do a little bit of searching, and on the social media chat pages, there are people complaining about men who are transitioning to women being on this specific site.
On this site, Giggle for Girls, is that popular?
Saying,
right.
I don't want my teenage daughters being on this site if there's men on there who are transitioning to becoming women.
Mm-hmm.
So from Sal's perspective, it's really, you know, that she's selling this product of exclusively for women, and some of her subscribers are complaining, saying,
define a woman.
Yeah,
essentially.
Saying, well, not even that. They're saying people like Roxanne are not women.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're wanting that scope defined in the way that suits them.
So what Justice Bromwich talks about is he says that what Sal really wants, and it sounds as though this was correct, what Sal really wants is only people who are born women can be on the app.
Mm.
Not so people who've transitioned from correct. A man to a woman cannot. Anyway, Sal has doubled down, and she's saying that she's going to appeal the decision, and that she doesn't want men transitioning to women. The case doesn't talk about how far Roxanne has got with her transition, and it looks very much as though both of them will get funding. So both of them have an interest group behind them. So for Roxanne, she's got all those people who are pro-transition and treating trans women as being just like anyone else, you know?
Including them, yep, and okay.
To be included.
How they identify, correct. Yep, okay.
And Sal has got quite a lot of people backing her saying, no, we don't want to have people who are in the transition process being part of an all-women group. So it's, I think it probably will go on appeal because there won't be any shortage of funds to run the appeal.
It's all about, for me, human rights. It's irretrievably a site of political struggle. You've got one camp and another camp, and the battleground set, of course, the court is the forum in which to battle, and repeatedly, based on the appellate system. So this is interesting because you could easily translate the elements of this. This is a non-work related environment, but you could clearly have a scenario, for example, at a workplace where someone may take issue with, let's say there was a forum for...
you can be more basic. You can just say the toilets.
Toilet, well...
Yes,
Well, labelling about to say the
toilets.
The
toilets and the showers.
Yep. I was about to say the toilets, and there was a case many years ago when I had to somehow work around involving a very similar situation in England when I was a commercial solicitor there. However, I meant more like in the more modern context. I think those issues have been resolved because they're tangible things. You just create more facilities. I'm talking about forums.
But it's not that easy.
It keeps coming up in schools too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my partner works in a government agency.
Yep.
And they have male toilets, female toilets, and handicap toilets.
Yes.
And what they've done is they've converted the handicap toilets into the unisex toilets. But that's disadvantaging handicap.
Well, the issue I had was right on that. It was 1999, my very first day on the job, and I was the commercial lawyer, not the employment lawyer, and my task was to resolve an issue where a worker on the Friday had transitioned on the weekend and on the Monday refused to be called by his previous name.
Pronouns, yep.
Had a new name.
And pronouns, yep.
You didn't get to pronouns. Pronouns wasn't a thing back then. It was just simply Richard to Rachel.
Right.
So the situation was, the dilemma was, of course, this was quite confronting for all parties to go, well, not really, how do we resolve this? And I said, I don't know, I'm the commercial lawyer. It's the first day of the job. However, they said, we'll resolve the issue. And my immediate response was, well, hang on, I've just walked around your facilities. You have a male toilet and a female toilet and a disabled toilet. They said, you're a genius. Perfect. It's resolved. However, the person who had an issue with that was indeed the person who was transitioning to say, I am not disabled.
I'm not disabled, that's right.
Yes, but of course, fast forward, this was 24 years ago.
Yeah.
Here's me trying to be pragmatic and practical, but you've just now addressed that this is still a live issue. It's still going on now.
It's still an issue. And
in the 21st century.
Can I just give a whole nother tangent for a moment? I've gone out on roadworks projects, right? Asphalt construction projects, and there are no toilets. And these are in regional areas. Why? Because the men can just whip it out behind the truck. So and so they didn't have port-a-loos, and these were projects that were extended times on how many construction projects are like that. And there are no female loos whatsoever.
Yeah, so that's still ongoing. See, I'm a bit surprised these practical issues haven't been resolved. I was thinking more along, being a little bit more, I was trying to get it out of the toilet because we seem to go to the toilet a lot on this show. I meant more like one day somebody is part of a group to promote, for example, let's say women in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, using the issue of Roxanne, you could use the same issues and go, well, hang on, I want to be part of your group. Well, you can't. That could be a, so that could be a work-related scenario.
In this case, the trump card for Roxanne was she changed her birth certificate so that her birth certificate said that she was a woman. So, but when I hear this kind of conversation, it's women who are saying, I don't want to be in the women's bathroom and have a person with male genitalia coming into the women's bathroom.
And this is it, and precisely, and this is what the scenario was in 1999. It seems to be an unresolved issue. So not only at the practical level, i.e. toilet facilities, but also at the social level in terms of, well, you can't join our group because this is
you are excluded. You are excluded, right? So this need to belong, a very strong need that we talked about last time. Alan, you mentioned earlier, this oxytocin, this primal driver of a need to belong.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are still excluding people, right?
Mm.
And what are the parameters around that? And by excluding one population, or if you were to include one population, sometimes you exclude others who don't want that association. So it is a very complex social phenomenon.
And you use the word people, a very non-binary context, and correct.
I think that's an excellent point. And I don't
thank you, Alan.
I don't profess to have any expertise in this at all, but I can imagine that a person who's transitioning has a desperate need to belong.
To belong.
To, you know, to fit in.
All right, Alan, hit me with your rhythm sticks. Hit me.
Trej, there's a decision that's only just come out just in the last couple of months, Brisbane decision, Brisbane Magistrates Court. Interesting because I'm always interested in the issue about is a recreational activity a workplace, although in this one it clearly is work.
We love that stuff here.
It's also interesting because it's a case about a person being killed, sadly, who was not a worker. So it's a work-related event that resulted in...
An other,
yes, being seriously injured. So
You're
the other.
Yes. This, back in 2001, and of course it's 2024 at the moment, back in 2001, at a football park in a suburb called Mitchelton, which is west of the city.
Not very well.
There was a scaffold tower built for the purpose of filming. So they were filming an event at the field. And it was a temporary mobile scaffold.
Mm.
And then after the event, it wasn't dismantled immediately. 3 months after the event, there's a football match for under 15-year-olds, so young players. And then during that football match, there was a strong gust of wind which blew over the tower, fell on the father of one of the children and fatally killed him. That resulted in a conviction and fine of $400,000. The conviction was recorded, which is unusual, so we know that the name of the company has been published. There's also, in the media, now I couldn't confirm this, but in the media there's a throwaway line about a worker is being prosecuted as well. So you know, we'll find out more about that in the future, I suspect, but we don't know what that's about just yet. Interesting, $400,000, that's a pretty big fine for a fatality. Not the biggest, of course, nowhere near the biggest, but it's still a big fine.
What year was that?
This year.
Oh, because you said 2001.
Yeah, the incident was in 2001.
What?
So it's taken 3 years it to finalize.
No, 2001, you mean 2021?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 2021.
Yes.
Sorry, I said the wrong thing. Yes, 2021.
Talk about two cases, one now and one...
No, 2021. Yep. It's also interesting because... the date of the offence was alleged to be from the date of the erection of the scaffolding, date it fell over, which is 3 months.
Yes, and so I'm sorry, but you triggered me when you said 2001. It involved a
and other and children.
Yeah, sorry.
No, but Sarah might be interested. I'm going to quickly digress. The Bray Park school incident involving the stray Roman candle, which unfortunately didn't go up. It went into the crowd and a high school student.
Yeah, Roman candle firework.
Finding of not guilty on that one, was there?
Bray Park State School. Is that the one?
Yes, where, I think
where
the,
but yeah, but sorry, when you said 2001, I thought, hang on, this suspiciously sounds like another incident. But no, now.
Now, that was a Category 2 offence.
Okay.
We talked earlier, I don't know whether it will be on this episode, but we talked about a trenching incident where there was a $75,000 fine.
Mm.
And this is...
$400,000.
You know, $400,000, that's a big hit.
This is the PCBU, the Person Conducting Business Undertaking, Section 32, the exposure provision.
And how easy would it be to just leave the scaffolding up because you hadn't got around to taking it down? Especially when you're doing it for a school event an event on a football field.
Yeah.
Were there any remark in the sentencing about the, for example, distinguishing the facts around this case, aggravating?
Unfortunately, I don't have the magistrate sentencing remarks.
No, it's extraordinary. You mentioned a case earlier today about 75K, and then you've got 400. It's such a contrast.
Yes. I think that when you're hooked up in one of these types of cases, the outcome is never certain.
Well, it could be $1.5 million, Sarah. That's the max.
Right, okay.
That's if individuals charged with industrial manslaughter or recklessness.
Several years in prison.
Yeah.
In some jurisdictions, it's up to 20 years. So you've got some serious consequences which could flow. You could be fortunate in that it's a lower end of the scale fine. But of course, you're just saying $400,000.
Sarah, you've got an interest in football and
Rugby. My son's rugby. I'm just thinking though the perception around this, the context. So the sense of innocence of a football match and a parent there who was not shouldn't have been knowledgeable about where they should be positioned versus in the trench where there may be some attribution of blame to the worker to having been in there or the way that was done behaviorally. Just trying to think of these awards, the big discrepancy in the awards, right?
And I think there's also how often do we see cases where there's a hazard that hasn't actually hurt anyone yet? In this case, it's potential energy. You know, I imagine everyone thought the scaffold was safe and was never going to get blown over.
Yeah,
but
it seems so. That's right. People do. They just get accustomed to seeing it there.
Mm.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases, and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.